Paul Mavro-George of Link Care presented a workshop at a recent European Member Care conference in southern France, and we're going to go back and listen to some more of what Paul presented, without the PowerPoint presentation that went along with his words or the handouts. So let me ask you this. Where do your thoughts lead you? What do they produce? When we left off last week, Paul was talking about this, so let's just go back a little and hear what he has to say.
Acting out begins with the ongoing thinking about it. And inevitably, that's where it starts. The thinking of it can become soothing. When we start to talk about all the wonderful cookies and treats that we've been given here, and all the wonderful food or all those things, we start to think about food, you can feel hungry. You know, I mean, we think of an image. For those of you who are apart from kids and family, I start to think about my kids and my family. I look at a picture of them, I'll have an emotional response. I'll miss them. Or I can look at a picture of them and all of a sudden feel real calm. All I'm doing is thinking, and it's creating an emotional and physical response. So acting out, sometimes the mere thinking about acting out can be soothing, because I'll get a picture in my mind of me doing that thing. My anxiety can begin to drop. So as that thinking starts, and that's where I help them say, wait, you've been triggered. Let's understand when you're thinking about it. Are your thoughts consumed? If it's that codependent person and they continue to rescue the person or to help them, they can't stop thinking about it. Their thoughts are consumed. But all of a sudden, when they maybe start to get a plan of what they're going to do, they can feel a little better. And again, it's that ongoing thinking about it, planning, and strategically moving towards it. The behaviors begin to spiral out of control. Again, the thinking leads to the actions. When I work with folks with pornography, rarely are they walking down the street and they look at just go dive into a barrel of pornography. Now, could they be exposed to pornography walking down the street? Sure. I was at the Patrick Carnes training, and I'm leaving, and I'm talking about, you know, I got a crew of guys, I'm going to try to practice what I preach, and I'm on the morning phone call with my buddy, and hey, good, how you doing? Oh, good, that was a good night, blah, 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 blah. And I sit down in the car, and I'm going, oh, dude! And he's like, what? I come from California, that's how we all talk. He saw, what? I'm like, there's a naked picture on my window. He's like, well, take it off. I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, dude, throw it down. I'm like, well, it's littering. He goes, throw it down. So I throw it down, shut the door. My car was the only car that had it on there. Now, that's when you start adding in a little spiritual warfare, too. But that was a trigger. There was a woman naked on the window. That was a trigger. But it didn't go to acting out, because held the thoughts captive, did what I needed to do, began to say, okay, wait, had him on the phone. We talked through it. He goes, you all right? I'm like, yeah. We all wonder what that's about. He goes, well, you don't need to wonder what that's about. I'm like, I know. I don't need to wonder what that's about. So again, we started talking. We prayed for the person who left it, prayed for the situation. Now we're not acting out, as we'll get to at the backstage. Now we're working through it. Triggers are going to happen, and the thoughts may start, but it's what do we do with those thoughts? Usually what I'll do for folk, how do we start to define acting out for them? I'll have them really define pretty concretely what that is for them. What's that behavior that they want to avoid? It's usually things that they want to quit, things that are unhelpful for them, behaviors that need to be stopped. And if they don't stop them, that are going to lead to trouble in their life. It's usually behavior that the person says they're not going to do again. They'll say, listen, I'm not ever going to do it again, but they keep doing it. So again, it's that, okay, well, wait a minute. If you keep saying that you're not going to do it, and you keep doing it, obviously this is something that we need to begin to work on. Behaviors that could cause an individual to lose a job or a primary relationship, so it's high-risk behaviors. Behaviors that risk their physical safety. Things that begin to put them in harm's way. All these areas, all those struggles can risk physical safety. For the workaholic, you know what? It's being unhealthy. That's high blood pressure. That's cardiac arrest. For the sex addict, you know what? Maybe it's just going to those fringe places to buy pornography or being off in those dangerous areas or engaging in unprotected sex with someone. For the person who's addicted to food, you know what? It's getting so big that your body is in danger of shutting down and having coronary or cardiovascular problems. So it's all those areas. For the codependent, it's that they keep putting themselves back in risky relationships where they risk physical harm. So again, it's starting to define those kinds of areas. Now, what we do is we move through the acting out. We define real clearly what happens when they first get triggered. What are they going to think about? What happens when they're doing it? What's their thought process? What are they telling themselves? What I make them do with me is tell me what all their rationalizations are. How do they convince themselves that it's okay? What are they thinking in their mind during the time? What are they feeling during this time? So again, to help them be aware, the hardest place to try to get them to stop is in acting out. It's theoretically possible, but not highly probable. Usually when someone's been thinking about it for a while, they're going to do it. I hate to say it that way. So we don't ever want to get there. And that's why I frame it that way. If I'm in my healthy functioning, if I'm in a recovery living, then chances are I'll work through that stage. But if I'm not taking care of myself and I get to the thinking stage and I've been dwelling on it for a while and I'm not reaching out, that is usually pretty much a foregone conclusion. So it's really a dramatic intervention at that time. And they happen. They're the miraculous ones. A person will randomly call you. All of a sudden, you'll see someone. I've had clients that have gone to go relapse and someone walks in from AA. Or the person sitting down to get on the computer to act out and their phone rings. And so God provides those miracles and those opportunities. But depending on how hard their heart is at that stage, they may continue to go. Outcomes. I have them define their positive outcomes. Understanding the payoff is critical. A lot of times the payoff really is meeting an emotional need for them. For a lot of men who struggle with pornography, and for women who struggle in that area too. I mean, women tend to more struggle with the relational chat, sometimes imagery. It's feeling wanted and cared for. So when the man's looking at pornography and watching that thing, he feels wanted and cared for and valued. That's what he's feeling. Now, I'm not saying that it's right. I'm not saying that it is, that it's the correct thing, but that is it. That's become the cheap substitute. That's become the cheap substitute for them. So what I do is I say, well, let's define what that is and what are healthier ways to deal with that. If when I get triggered, that ache underneath for me is it combats my loneliness. Well, then I would say, okay, so when we get to that acting out stage, what do we need to do instead? You know, what else is that? Well, I could call people. So I'm feeling lonely and I call Mike and say, hey, Mike, can we go out and go get a cup of coffee? Can we go do something? Now what I'm doing is I'm really meeting the need. I say, let's find out what's the payoff, because there's obviously a payoff where you wouldn't keep doing it. Well, identify their short-term gain. Help them understand the payoff for the use. You know, what is this payoff that they're going for? We need to identify that. It's absolutely critical that that part gets identified. The negative parts, it's that long-term impact, helping them understand that too. Why, yes, I've got short-term gain, but long-term is I really risk relationships. Yes, short-term, I feel some satisfaction, but really what I risk is long-term loneliness. Ultimately, it's really helping them count the cost. To begin to think that through. Like, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I mean, I'll be sober 20 years in July. I was at a dinner one time and with this girl. Praise God, didn't marry her. But anyway, she was being all chaotic and I was outside this bar and I wanted to go drink. And I remember I called my sponsor and he said, take out your wallet. I'm like, what? And he said, take out your wallet. I want you to look at your wallet. What do you see? I said, I see my license and I see like my bank card. He goes, well, okay, I want you to think this all the way through. If you continue to drink, what's going to happen? You're going to lose that. And so what I have folks do is for their negative one, I have them do like an emergency toolkit. That what's their warning thing? What did they really, really risk? So in there, a lot of folks will have pictures of their kids. They may have something that represents their work. They may have something that represents their financial security. And I really encourage it to be tactile, something that they can physically look at. So for me, if I thought about going and drinking and going on a really crazy bender, look in here and first thing that I see is that I see a picture of my wife and my kids and that I'd lose them and a sticky from Jordan that says, hey, I love you from Jordo. And I'd lose that real love and care and admiration from him. That would go away. There's credit cards. I have a really great credit rating because we pay bills on time. That would go away because I'd lose all that. There's my license. I'd lose all that. My medical card, I'd lose that. Again, it's that and helping them begin to see and count that cost ultimately. But it's two heads of the dragon. We need to see the payoff, but then we also need to help them count the cost. What I do with this is we walk through and we start to help them get conscious. And the first stage is here. It's the acting out part. That's probably the most critical part because once we start to break that pattern, once we break the pattern, I really try to move them towards recovery living and working through. Ongoing susceptibilities. Our history is our history. If you had a bad childhood, sorry. I mean, we don't get a second shot. And that's it. We get one chance at being the kid growing up. And if we didn't get cared for right, that doesn't ever happen again. That's it. It's a one-time shot. And so that grief, that sadness, that sorrow will be there, period. What we can change is our recovery living. So what I really work on is I have folks define for me a time when was life really good? When were you really in your zone? When were things really, really nice? What I find for a lot was it was some of their early mission experience. For some, even though language school was hard, language school was in relationship. They had co-sufferers with them, mutual hatred for the people who were making them do all this stuff. But what it was they felt relationship, they felt connection, they were highly aware of their call, they had a lot of hope, there were a lot of these great times. So what I start to say is, okay, so what was going on for them? What was happening for them in that part of their life? And we start to define what were some of those elements. Key things are usually relationship, spiritual life, exercise, doing all kinds of right things. So we start to define for them what defines their recovery living. What for them is a healthy lifestyle? What do we need to strive towards? And what changes do we need to make to get there? What happens? We're still going to be triggered, but instead of acting out, we work through. Instead of engaging in my behavior, I resist the behavior and I do something else. I work through it because for a lot of folks, they're acting out, say the codependent. The fear could be, if I don't answer the phone for this person, they're going to go to jail. And if they go to jail, they may get beat up in jail. Something awful may happen. Bad things may happen. For the person that has a hard time saying no, well, they're afraid if they say no that people won't like them. So we help them say no. And really what they get the opportunity to do is to work through the fear. For the person who's struggling with pornography, if I don't engage in this, is this going to be too much? I'm going to be overwhelmed. These feelings are too great. They work through them and they realize they can manage them. And we help them begin to find healthy ways to have those needs met, which ultimately begins to help us work through those ongoing susceptibilities. Really, what's at the core of working through is dealing with a lot of these core issues. So that what we begin to do is, yes, we're working through them therapeutically, but we're also changing how we're doing in relationship.
In 6 installments, we've been listening in on a presentation that Paul Mavrojorge gave at a recent member care conference in southern France on the subject of addictions, dependencies, and acting out. Some of the unhealthy places that we can allow our thoughts to take us.